Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all. Yesterday, in our study of Revelation chapter 18, we were taught that we must make a conscious decision to be obedient to God. Let's continue with that thought today. And now, here is our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Righteousness, according to Deuteronomy chapter 6, is obedience to the commandments of God. So what fellowship, what partnership does one have that tries to live an obedient life with someone who is a disobedient one, who does not obey the word of God? And what communion hath light with darkness? Oh yes, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But when that salvation is offered to man, we find that men love darkness rather than light. Oh, men want salvation, but they don't want to leave the darkness. Don't save me from a sin, just save me from going to hell. But Jesus Christ come to save his people from their sins. And he goes on to say, and what concord hath Christ with Belial? Other words, no ecumenical thing. What part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? We serve a living God, not these idols, whether it even fits a image of Jesus Christ. That image does not speak, talk, doesn't walk on its own, doesn't hear, and can't do all the things that you and I can do. Now, God is a spirit. And Jesus Christ was God clothed with flesh. But he was never an idol. He is to be worshipped, but he's not an idol. And so he says, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? And then he adds this, for ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And then he gives this admonition, wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Well, the destruction of Babylon in chapter 18 tells us of God's anger against these sins and against these ways. So having seen the prophecy's completion, let's move on to the prophecy's crying in verses 9 through 19. Again, the prophecy's crying in verses 9 through 19. Now, the false church may seem to be successful for a season, especially as you have tried to remain true to a fundamental church. But don't lose sight of the fact that the false church is doomed. Now, let's just think before we read verse 9 and 10. About the pleasures of sin for a season. In Hebrews 11, verses 24 through 27, it says, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused. That was a decision. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God and to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. For he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Not an idol, but someone invisible. Now, this may seem as an interruption to this Revelation 18 study. It may seem like I'm going off on a rabbit trail. But really, what I'm trying to show you is that Moses is faced with what believers in the tribulation and even in today's world are faced. A conscious decision with a commitment must be made just as Moses made one. Verse 26, he refused the world's tempting offer of fame, notoriety, its pleasures. He made the choice of suffering affliction over the pleasures of sin for a season. And understand, Moses could have had it made the rest of his life as far as what the earth would call having it made. But the believer must always see that sin's fun and its provision is only for a season. And must also understand that all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And we're told in 2 Timothy 3:12 about that persecution, and that evil men would wax worse and worse. And you wonder, well, how do you handle that? Especially when it seems so unfair. Well, that's a good question of how do you handle it when it seems so unfair? Well, first of all, by truly esteeming the riches of Christ far greater than the riches and pleasures of this world. Tribulation saints know that for 7 years the tribulation is upon the earth, and then after that, the eternal kingdom. So they live their lives having a greater respect for that and a greater fear of God than they would the fear of the Antichrist and the world. Again, that goes back to Moses. By faith, he forsook Egypt, a type of the world. Instead of fearing man, Antichrist, or in our day, ridicule and perhaps suffering, Moses saw him who is invisible. And he is sustained by the personal relationship that he has with him. Now, my friend, that's a question for each Christian to examine. You have failures, and many of those failures revolve around your fear of man, your fear of situations, and you don't do what you're supposed to do. And that tells us that simply, you're not being sustained by the personal relationship that you have with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, notice here, in verses 9 and 10, as the kings of the earth cry for her, it says, and the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. Now, they committed fornication and lived deliciously, we're told. In other words, they sold their soul to her. Now, in return, they get economic benefits. They bewail and lament, because even in tribulation, when the populace is starving and hurting, these governments and their leaders have personal gain from this woman who rides on the back of governments. Napoleon saw the necessity of reestablishing the church in France. You see, when churches are destroyed, even evil ones, social barriers are broken down, and it's followed by a flood of anarchy. This is why the Antichrist has his own image and his religion in place. It'll take right up where Roman Catholicism, or should I say, Mystery Babylonianism, fails. Understand, a poor religion is better than no religion in holding the masses in restraint. And as bad as the morals And the crimes are, in today's world in which you and I live, imagine if there were no churches of any kind in the community seeking to teach morals and responsibility and ways that are right in the treatment of your fellow man. And so the Antichrist, he sees the need. He sees that there is a definite need that we have a religion here on earth, because it's going to be a religion that brings worship to him and eventually to the dragon, who is that old devil, Satan himself. And that will be a time of terrible persecution for anyone who names the name of Christ. Now, you'll notice here in verse 10 of Revelation 18, the twice repeated word, alas, alas, that great city Babylon. For in 1 hour is thy judgment come. Now, the word alas, repeated twice, is the same Greek word in Revelation 8, verse 13, is translated, woe. Now, here it is doubled twice. We're seeing alas, alas, and we ask the question, why? Now, although they seem not to use nuclear weaponry in most of the tribulation, it looks like some type of detonation is likened to it, and all is destroyed in 1 hour. The idea there is it happens suddenly, and there's a totality to this devastation. As you know, many countries have embassies to the Vatican. But the day comes when the man-dubbed city is no longer called the Eternal City. The smoke of her burning is far more literal than many theologians will admit. Now, by the way, it's kind of like the Titanic, remember? The ship that God himself cannot sink. Well, it sunk on its maiden voyage. And man has likewise called Rome the Eternal City, as mystery Babylonianism has moved from its original place in Babylon and moved to Persia and on through the Etruscan plain and finally settled in Rome. And then more of a time later, it began to absorb the church, the Roman Catholic Church there, and then other religions as well, as into its belief system. And many of the things, for example, like the mother with a baby in its arms and the halo about its head, that's all comes out of there, the crossing of the self, the sign of the T or the cross. That all of those are things that started in mystery Babylonianism long before Roman Catholicism came out and just adopted some of those things into its worship. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast. 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org. With no break. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying, may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.